Right now I am free, and I have this Protestant, Reformed freedom, you know, that comes from God, that I do not have to participate in the numbering system. There's no law in the land where I live that requires me to do that. So I see this struggle between these two horns of power continuing even to this day. Okay? But most people, they don't have any clue as to what is going on. So they submit to the dragon side, because that's the default. The default is the dragon. Simply, in the same way as for our salvation, if we do nothing, we lose. We die because we're already dead in Adam. Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is our live weekly prophecy reality edition. What are we going to talk about today? I guess that's what I need to say. Well, I have on the agenda the lamb-like two-horned earth beast of Revelation chapter 13, and we're looking at Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Okay, first we need to examine the mentioned attributes of this beast power from the divine text itself and see if we can find a candidate in subsequent history that satisfies all of the criteria. Here we refer to our previous chapter 4, section 1. That discussion which identifies this new beast power with the seventh king beast of Revelation 17, 10 and 11, and the attributes enumerated there. 1. He is not yet come. Here is a direct future tense reference to an appearance of the seventh king beast power that did not previously exist. Future from the present tense of John receiving the revelation, and future from the one is then in existence, the sixth king beast, already identified as Rome. Revelation 13 has the only mention of the appearance of an additional and subsequent beast power in the scripture, so it must be the same beast power mentioned in both texts. 2. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. The continuance of this beast power must be relatively short in comparison to the other beast powers before it, or at least the one immediately before it. We now turn back to our primary text above, that is Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, for our additional attributes. 3. Comes up out of the earth. First we notice that this beast does not rise up out of the sea, as did the four previous beast powers. The sea, waters, or flood, each respectively indicating multitudes or a densely populated area such as the old world, and conquest by warfare or the sword. This earth beast would rise up without conquest of the beast preceding it, nor would it occupy the highly populated area of the preceding beast power. 4. He had two horns like a lamb. Averting our attention to the division of the Greek Empire with its singular horn being broke off, going back to Daniel 8:8, I believe, chapter 8, verse 8, and being supplanted by four horns, signifying a new fourfold division, and the ten horns of the concurrent sea beast, of which we know three were plucked out by the roots, and one took its place, going back to Daniel and Daniel's little horn, okay? So this beast having two horns, we expect to see something representing a twofold division of power during the continuance of this beast. It's being described as like a lamb, maybe an indicator of one of those horns, or a division of power. Fifth attribute, he spake as a dragon. Now this dragon influence or division would be concurrent throughout the life of this beast power with the horns, as we notice no change or one horn being plucked up by another, as in the Grecian or Roman Empire beasts previous to it. This beast may be somewhat schizophrenic, with a constant power struggle between its lamb-like qualities and its dragon-like conversation. Remember, it spake as a dragon. So in support of the sea beast, which it derives its power from, which derives its power from the dragon or Satan, the god of this world. Six, causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So we see this dragon speak. It's speaking as a dragon to cause people to worship the first beast. So this beast doesn't conquer the beast for it, as Rome conquered, what was before it, Greece and Medo-Persia and Babylon. All of those four conquered each other in succession. Finally, the Roman Empire enveloping all of them and receiving the attributes of all of the four sea beasts before it. Okay? But we notice this beast comes alongside. It exists concurrent with it, alongside of it, helping it, causing the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. And of course, the enumerated first means the first beast in this chapter, in the mention here of chapter 13, because the first beast is the sea beast, as we have chapter 13 of the Revelation opening up. Why don't we turn there to Revelation chapter 13 and take a look at it. Revelation 13:1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And so we see it has the attributes of the three beasts before it, the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion, and it was like unto a leopard. And if you go back to Daniel chapter 7, you'll see that these were the attributes that described the three beasts before the Roman beast. So this is the first beast of Revelation chapter 13 is the sea beast, and of course the second beast of Revelation chapter 13 is our lamb-like two-horned earth beast, because it rises up out of the earth, whereas the other one rose up out of the sea. So we have these two characters, and we're trying to discover who this beast power is. What power does it represent in the earth? Now, I haven't said it yet. Many of you know what I'm going to say, but we want to derive our interpretation from the scripture. That's the whole point. If we don't get it from the scripture, if we can't look at the scripture and look at what it says understand what a beast power is, because I've had people come to me and say, well, the Antichrist is the beast. Well, no. The Antichrist speaks for the beast in much the way, same way as the American president speaks to the United States of America. Okay, and so when you see, when you hear it speak, you say the beast is speaking. So in a way, yeah, the beast and the Antichrist would be the same when the Antichrist is controlling and speaking for the beast. To see the beast speak, you're hearing the Antichrist, because that beast was given a great mouth, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And we know that the Antichrist controlled the sea beast for 1260 years until it was punished. Okay, upon the outbreak of the French Revolution, and we see that it received a serious wound to that head, okay, as it were to death, but it didn't die, because we see that it is revived again later. And it is at the time where the sea beast, or at the time that the earth beast rises, okay, and creates an image. So the earth beast first has to rise, and then it later creates this image, because, you know, by my discernment, from the time that the earth beast rose in its final form, where it could do all of the things qualify for all of the attributes given in the revelation of this earth beast, or this lamb-like two-horned earth beast that speaks like a dragon, all of those attributes, it received the form in which it could exercise all of those attributes eventually about 1778 or thereabout, okay? About the end of the 18th century. And I believe that was upon the development of the Constitution that constitutes that nation as it is right now. And of course, I'm speaking of America, okay? Which later on did create an image, but we're getting to that. Okay, so we've got is not yet come from the time, direct future tense reference to an appearance of a seventh king beast power that did not previously exist. Future from the present tense of John receiving the revelation about the end of the first century, okay, beginning of the second century, John received the revelation, and it did not previously exist. Future from, okay, that they read that, and future from the one is, because remember he enumerates seven king beast power. He says the sixth one is, five have fallen, and one is. And the one that was present, that existed at John's time, was the Roman Empire in its pagan form. Okay? And then the sixth king beast already identified as Rome. Revelation 13 has the only mention of the appearance of an additional or subsequent beast power in the scripture. So it must be this seventh power that is future from the Roman Empire. And we got to attribute 4, I believe. He had two horns like a lamb. Oh, and spake as a dragon. So we got that far. The dragon influence or division would be concurrent throughout the life of this beast power with the horns, as we notice no change, or one horn being plucked up by another, as in the Grecian and Roman Empire beast previous to it. Okay, so he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. This beast power doesn't conquer the ones before it, but it comes alongside and it supports the sea beast. The sea beast, having received the deadly head wound, and I believe that was at the end of this 1260 years overt reign, because we see that it takes on a new form of reigning over this beast later on when the head that was wounded, as it were, to death, is healed or receives its power back over the beast, because it's described as is existing in such a state that it, that the beast that was and is not yet is. Okay, kind of a riddle there, kind of a statement that seems to contradict itself. So it's kind of a contradiction in terms, because it was and is not yet is, meaning that what that would mean to me and how I would interpret that would be that people don't understand or they don't see how this beast, this power is reigning in the beast, okay? That is the sea beast. And how does it control the earth beast? How does it speak as a dragon in this earth beast power, or as one of the horns of power in this divided power that is the earth beast, or this lamb-like dragon speaking beast? Okay, how does that all come about? And does this actually match up with what we see today? Because this is where we are today, where these three powers are ruling the world together. Okay. Number 7, doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, I'm going to go back to number 6. Causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. I guess I would have to go back, because we always have to go back and say, you know, what is this referring to? What is this symbolic of? And where can we get some kind of idea what this symbol or this attribute means from the scripture itself? And then this would bring to mind the image that Nebuchadnezzar built. And kind of these 3, 6, 7, and 8 here kind of go together. Or even 9, because it says, let's see, where is it at? Oh yeah, that they should make an image to the beast. So these kind of all run together. But this reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar building his image on the plain and requiring everyone on the kingdom, because he ruled the whole earth. Babylon was first in the mystery Babylon image. Thou art this head of gold from Daniel chapter 2. And the Babylonian Empire being the first enumerated of the 4 sea beasts of the book of Daniel, chapter 7 and 8. Okay. So this earth beast is going to cause them that dwell therein on the earth to worship the first beast. And it says, he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the sight of earth, from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, this would be something, this would go back to the prophet who made fire come down from heaven and consume the sacrifice in the sight of men, that was a challenge against false prophets. So kind of really don't know how I'm going to make this fit in here. Do we have anything like that today? Does this second beast, is there a beast that has power that can make fire come down from heaven? It kind of reminds me of like during the Gulf Wars and others, where they could target things using lasers or whatever, or GPS or however they target things, and they could hit a target with a missile. And it's just one way to make fire come down from out of heaven in the sight of men. And indeed, that would be a great wonder, especially, and it still is. I mean, they had to boast and show off that great wonder. Whether that means that or not, I don't know. I really don't know where to put that one. So let's move on to number 8. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Okay. saying to them that dwell on the earth, that you'd make an image to the beast. So I think kind of all these things, if we bring all of these 7, 8, and 9 together, and we say, well, what is the image of a beast? Well, we have an image on the plain there in Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar made, okay? Nebuchadnezzar made this image after he got the dream from God, okay? The dream image of Daniel chapter 2, okay? And what did this image represent that God gave Nebuchadnezzar in a dream? Well, it was a dream about all of the nations that would dominate the earth from the time of Babylon being the head, moving down to the feet, and 10 toes of iron mingled with clay. So this image that Nebuchadnezzar made would be an image of all the nations together to be seen in one place. And I call it the Mystery Babylon image, because the head of gold is Babylon. And I think it is the key to the mystery of Mystery Babylon and the image of the beast. We have nothing to hearken back to in the scripture except this image from Daniel chapter 2 and that dream that God gave Nebuchadnezzar there. And we'll continue talking more about the lamb-like two-horned earth beast that speaks like a dragon and the image it created when we return from some messages. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll return in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit Cross the Border. .org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. And really, I'm just kind of kicking around some ideas here. I'm writing a chapter on the lamb-like two-horned earth beasts. And as you can see, basically on these three verses, and got some of the criteria from chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. Being the only other place in the scripture that actually enumerates a seventh power after the Roman Empire, or beast power that rises up. Revelation 17:10 says there were seven kings, and in verse 11, it identifies those king powers as beasts, because it enumerates the eighth beast being one of the seven, so therefore that indicates that we are talking about beast power, and says he has not yet come. And as you can see, I put down the attribute here that I find in the scripture where I found it, and then I write some supporting text here below it. And I'm just working on this right now. So this is what I've got so far. And if you come down here, I've got to number 5 where I'm working on he spoke as a dragon. And you can see I don't have anything written for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, or 13. So I'm kind of in the middle of this. Okay, so we left off. We're talking about, we were up to here, number 9 here. And a lot of the things I'm saying I will fill in here later on, actually write them down. It's kind of hard to write and do a broadcast at the same time, though, as you can see, and get whatever couple, one or two paragraphs for each enumerated attribute of this seventh or final beast power that is mentioned in the scripture at both Revelation chapter 13 and just briefly in chapter 17, verses 9, 10, and 11. Okay, so he says to them that dwell on the earth, going back to our two-horned lamb-like earth beast that speaks like a dragon. That's a mouthful, isn't it? He says to them that dwell on the earth, and this must be some of that dragon speak, that they should make an image to the beast. And I'm going to write a whole chapter on the image of the beast, but you have to discover what the image of the beast. And like I said, we're going back to Daniel 2 to get our idea of what this image to the beast. So we have here the second beast creating an image to the first beast. And so that image has to be something that is like it. Because an image is always something, it's not the same as, you look in the mirror, and you see your image. Well, it looks like you, but it's not quite you. Or if we make an image to something, say we are made in the image of God. Okay? God made man in his own image. Well, we're not God, but we're kind of like God. Okay? But we're not God. Okay? But we're an image of God. Okay, and maybe we have the potential to be like his son, you know, as he conforms us to his image more and more every day. So looking to the scripture to get an idea of what this image is of the first beast that the second beast makes. And, you know, I look around on the earth and I see something being described, because we're in the era, this is the final era leading up to the return of Christ, and the sea beast, and the Antichrist, and the false prophet, okay, being thrown in the lake of fire, or going to perdition upon the return of Christ, and hearkening back, of course, to Daniel chapter 2, and the image, the mystery Babylon image, when Christ returns and appears, symbolized by the stone that was cut out without hands, striking the mystery Babylon image in the feet and obliterating it completely, so that it becomes like the chaff of the threshing floor, which the wind blows away, and so that no place was found for those parts, those governing authorities that made up that mystery Babylon image. Okay. So the image would be somewhere where you would see all of the governing aspects of the mystery Babylon image, because we see towards the end of the image, of course, the iron breaks in pieces, subdues and breaks in pieces, but we see it continues to break in pieces. And then we have down in the feet, the 10 toes and clay of this image, we have the infusion of clay into the iron as part of this aspect of it being broken up and separated, okay? So the iron doesn't quite cling to itself, but it has these veins running through it of clay, which keeps it from becoming one cohesive, monolithic power as it was when the iron appeared. And of course, then the iron divided, and then there was two legs and 2 feet, and with 10 toes of iron and clay, with the clay in there, and it continues to break up. And that's what we've seen over history, is this, the iron enveloping the whole earth, but it being broken up at the same time, so that it's not all under one singular head, or at least it doesn't appear to, that there are a lot of heads, as in the 10 heads, the 10 horns. You have the 7 heads and the 10 horns, and then crowns upon the horns and so forth. So you see all these divisions of power and the continual struggle that goes on the earth. So perfectly fits with the history that we have and where we are in concurrent time. So now we got to look for these three things that are going to be here in existence and are the foundation of end time world government until Christ comes and does away with it completely and supplants it with his kingdom. Okay? So we have the sea beast, and we have an earth beast, and we have an image that the earth beast creates. Now, I would say, of course, the sea beast is the old world Roman Empire. Okay? And what happened with the old world Roman Empire? Well, the head was punished. Okay? It received that wound as it were to death, but not dead. Okay? Because it was and is not, yet is. All of these things coming together and making some kind of sense. Okay? And then you see the conquest of the new world. That is the rest of the earth, really, going down into Africa, into the Far East, and then the new world and the Americas. And we see this all being divided up. Okay? During the 1260 years, by the papacy. Dividing all of this up except for one portion of the New World, which the papacy did not divide up. And that was North America, which fell to the tenth of the kingdom that fell away from the Roman Empire. Right? Remember, a tenth of the kingdom fell, and it fell away from the Roman Empire because it went Protestant, the Reformation brought that about, and so that one reformed nation set up 13 colonies in the North American continent. But the rest of the Americas and the rest of the world was divided up primarily between papal countries, mainly of Spain, Portugal, and France, okay? These papal countries, they kind of divided up the rest of the world, and the papacy gave them their authority to divide up the rest of the world. Okay. So all of these, the rest of the world fell under this dominion. And we see that they've lost their dominion. It's continued to break up in pieces. But with this image being created, bringing all of these countries back together in this image, I believe, allows the papal head that was wounded, as it were, to death, but is now revived, an avenue to rule the world vicariously with the help of this second beast and the image that it created. Okay? So it causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. And I believe they worship it through this image. Okay? And it doeth great wonders, so he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So why have all the countries of the earth submitted to this image we call the United Nations, which is an image of the Roman Empire, a cohesive governing authority over all the nations of the earth? Why do people submit to that? Well, I believe they submit to it because of the fire power of the second beast, which was developed through World War I and finally through World War II, where the second beast, that is the America, became the police power of the world, because it says that he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. And I think we're jumping ahead in our enumerated attributes here. Okay, let's see, do I have that one? Oh, I don't even have that one written, do I? That he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Okay, I believe that's here somewhere. Okay, well, see, I have to add another one in there. Exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Because the Roman Empire, back in its day, when it was pagan Rome, it was the police power of the world. Okay? Those centurions and those soldiers of the Roman Empire, they were the police. Okay? And so America today exercises, through the UN, the police power of the world. And by that power, this great wanderers making fire come down from heaven, deceiving them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, or seemingly miracles, which it had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. So we see as an outcome of these world wars and the power of this second beast to put an end, perhaps somewhat miraculously put an end. I mean, if dropping atomic bombs weren't somewhat miraculous, I don't know what else would be. This could be describing this fire coming down from heaven, this miraculous fire, putting an end, and then saying, we need to create the United Nations to bring peace to the world. Okay? And there's a great picture of the signing and of I'll have to show that to you next time. It's one thing to say something, but to show it to you is everything. You know, as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. Okay, so I am convinced, and unless someone can come up with something else, but everything pales in comparison to bringing together all of these attributes of this earth beast and how these three beast powers are working together today and until Christ comes. Okay. Now, the earth beast says, let's move on, had power to give life to the image of the beast. Well, the United Nations is alive and well and gaining power every day, year by year, more and more power. That's why America is losing control of its own nation and its own schools and its own youth, because the agenda is not the lamb-like agenda that this nation was founded upon when Protestant Reformation principles were there at its beginning, well, behind the scenes, and I believe co-equal at the time of its beginning. And I've talked about this a little bit in my last book, When the Third Temple is Built, but it's a chapter coming up on what I'm working on now. I'll have to write about that. To bring it all together. So he had power to give life to the image, and so we see that's happened. Any other explanation out there that even comes close? Well, there is none. You have Canada to the north, and I believe that's directly belongs to the papal power, being under the sway of the empire of the city. Okay, Canada, and let's see, New Zealand, Australia, all belong to the papacy through the empire of the city. Let's move on. And he causes many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And I believe there's the police power. How many hundreds of thousands were lives were terminated in the Mideast recently through the Gulf Wars and so forth, you know, simply because whoever is in charge, and we all know that's the Antichrist, he wanted it that way. Anyone who will not submit, I mean, what do you think all these police actions like Vietnam and Afghanistan and ad nauseum, what do you think they're all about? They will not submit because worship is obedience and they won't obey the beast's power. So they should be killed. Okay, and is this the power is being killed so that it can, because it won't submit to the image of the beast? And he causes all, both small, and now we're talking about individuals here. I believe 11 is talking about not individuals, but nations and powers that won't submit to the image, that they should be killed or you know, forced into submission. But in verse 12, I think this goes down to individuals. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Now, I see this mark as very active and growing daily. And I've been avoiding it now for more than 20 years. Okay, I put off any number of a beast. This is what a mark is. A mark is an identification. If you're marked, you're identified. That's it. Okay, and if you need a mark, as it goes on here, and number 13 of our enumerated attributes here, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. So I see that happening, and I see most people voluntarily, because most people already worship the beast and its image individually, and so they're no problem. But that's going to be a problem for God's people, because I live in a time, and this is where I see this struggle between lamb-like and dragon conversing or speaking attribute to this beast in my own life. Because right now I am free and I have this Protestant, Reformed freedom, you know, that comes from God, that I do not have to participate in the numbering system. There's no law in the land where I live that requires me to do that. So I see this struggle between these two horns of power continuing even to this day. Okay? But most people, they don't have any clue as to what is going on. So they submit to the dragon side, because that's the default. The default is the dragon. Simply, in the same way as for our salvation, if we do nothing, we lose. We die because we're already dead in Adam. Okay? So that's the default. Now, if you take action when you are called by God, because many are called but few are chosen, simply because few respond to the call. So respond to the call, resist the beast's power, and continue resisting. And if you've given in, if you find yourself in a position where you're numbered and you're totally engaged in the system, okay, then you need to repent. I mean, that's simply what I did. I repented of participating in a mark numbering system, dragon money, Satan's monetary system, fiat usury. Two things that are abominable to God, participating in socialism, you know, corporate, dragon, government theft, okay? where they steal from my neighbor to support me, even though I could qualify for Socialist Security right now. Okay? Well, I've already repented of the number many, many years ago and haven't used the number many, many years because I'm free to do that. And I will never receive it. And if God doesn't want to take care of me and I die, well, so what? Because this isn't it. And, you know, as years go by and every year goes on and on, I realize, hey, this isn't it. Because I'm not getting younger and healthier or more optimal in my life. And I know the end for my mortal existence is the grave. So the most important thing to me is what is beyond the grave. So it is time to repent and be baptized. Well, that's all we have time for in this segment. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you continue to walk in His kingdom day by day on the narrow way that leads to life.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.